All right, we're going to get right into the interview here at KSDP. That was Tom T. Hall that we faded out. Ballad of $40 from 1972. This is KSDP, 830 on your AM dial, streaming live around the world at apradio.org. Today's interview is with Katie Paglini, who is a program coordinator for Connect Alaska, where she engages in partnerships with regional leaders in an effort to better address the broadband infrastructure build-out concerns and digital literacy requirements needed to foster enhanced job creation opportunities and improvements in the overall quality of life for rural Alaskans. Welcome to the program, Katie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
All right, and so you are a... Let's do a little introduction for Connect Alaska and what Connect Alaska's mission is and what they're doing.
Sure. Well, Connect Alaska is part of a larger parent company or organization called Connected Nation. And Connected Nation works in 10 states and Puerto Rico. And basically just helping each of those states do exactly what you just said, just helping them increase broadband awareness and use. And so Connect Alaska is working with the state of Alaska, helping them administer a grant to, like I just said, increase that broadband awareness. And currently right now we are working with the Broadband Task Force, which is just about ready to get done with some recommendations for the state of Alaska on how to move forward with getting broadband, reliable, fast broadband to every Alaskan. So that's kind of what we're working on right now. And like I said, we're just kind of waiting on the task force to come out with those recommendations. And then eventually we're going to bring it forward to the state legislature to ask for funding. So it's kind of exciting.
All right. And all of the impetus on all of this was in 2010, the FCC released a statement or a conversation for the National Broadband Plan. And now you mentioned that bringing the task force recommendations to the legislature, is there going to be a partnership with some federal funds in there as well?
Yeah, part of the recommendations, which, again, aren't set in stone yet, but what they've been discussing is a private-public partnership. So if there are federal funds, that's awesome. If there are state funds, that's great, too. If there isn't any of those options, we'll be looking at the private organizations within the state, companies, and looking at what their plans are as far as build-out is concerned and kind of letting them take the lead. It's something that we need to get done. We don't need to convince Alaskans that the internet is an important thing to have. Our state is huge, and there's not a lot of people per capita. So, per square mile, I should say. And so, keeping in contact and with your loved ones and getting educated and finding work is more and more moving online. So, We understand that it's really important to have that internet connection. So the focus is definitely moving in that direction, but however we can get there is kind of the bottom line, however best we can get there. And we're constantly looking for opportunities, federal funds, grants, and things to help move that goal forward. So, yeah, it's something that we're constantly looking for, those different kinds of opportunities, and sometimes they come along, sometimes they don't, and you have to kind of go to plan B and figure out what is the next step. So, yes.
All right. Well, let's talk about some of the work Connect Alaska's done and been doing. It looks like Connect Alaska's been doing some data collection about broadband availability or just what type of internet connectivity is available throughout the state, mapping that together, and kind of just building, take a look. You know, let's look at the entire state and see what everybody has. And
yeah, exactly.
Now,
so yeah, we go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, and I was just that's following up to in the process of collecting some of this user data. If you go to connectak.org, they have a handful of tools and surveys that they can help. But what have you learned during your collection of user data and internet access in the Aleutians East Borough?
We have learned that it is, as far as broadband is concerned, you don't really have a lot of options, and it's pretty expensive, the options that you have. Right now, it looks like the only option is satellite for the Aleutians East Borough. And I was looking at, you sent me your internet speed test, and that is something that everyone can do if you go to our website, which I'll give you that address at the end of the interview. But so, Virgil, you gave me a speed test of from your home, which was 220 kilobits per second, and from work, which was basically 1.4 megabits per second. And that's pretty standard, I would expect, from that area. There's not a lot of great options because we don't have any terrestrial infrastructure going out to the Aleutians East Borough. So in the future, there's some options. So the Broadband Task Force, which I mentioned before, what their goal is to get is one of their goals is to get 100 megabits per second to every Alaskan by the year 2020. So keeping that in perspective, like I just said, Virgil, your speed test from your work was 1.4 megabits per second. So imagine if you had 100 megabits per second, what you can do with that kind of an internet speed. That's their goal for every Alaskan. And so, you know, how are we going to get there? What are the in-between steps? What kind of technology is that going to take? So those are the kinds of things they're looking at right now as far as, you know, what do we have to do to get to that goal? So, So one of the things, let me just mention one of the things that they're talking about is, so I mentioned that you have satellite right now, satellite internet. They're the next generation satellites that are in development right now. They're looking heavily at purchasing some satellites, spot beams to be placed on Alaska, which would, by the year, 2015, 2016, bring 40 megabits per second to whatever area of Alaska that spot beam reaches. So it's in the process, but a lot of these things you have to plan several years down the line. So it's a long development phase. So there is nothing that's going to happen overnight. And when we talk about, you know, time it takes to build out to all the far reaches of Alaska, 2020 is coming up pretty fast. Even though it's seven, 8 years away, it's in relative terms for building out there, it's coming up pretty fast. So it's a looming target that they're very aware of that they definitely want to hit though.
All right. I just wanted to give a little bit of background on the two speed tests. Currently in Sandpoint, we have a satellite-fed copper loop through our local teleco to Alaska. And here at the radio station, we actually had gone to an option that a handful of other private individuals had to get a little bit more bandwidth in. That's the HughesNet satellite service. It's a very incredibly expensive. The cost for the hardware, you know, the satellite, you have to purchase a satellite dish and all the other electronics equipment to go with it. And then on top of that, it's a very high amount per month. And you have data caps, you know. And so, you know, there's trade-offs in everything. Now, you're speaking about new satellite technology. There were a couple of new satellites launched. Hughes had put one up, and I believe Exceed is the name of the other satellite system. And we didn't get coverage on either of those. So the satellites that you're speaking about are things that are potentially going to be launched in the future, and we would requisition, you know, possibly requisition, hey, can you just point it towards Southwest Alaska and maybe cover the peninsula and Dutch and everyone out further west?
Yeah. Yeah, the thing about these satellites is the companies who launch them, they want to hit the areas with the most density of people possible. So a lot of the new satellites are looking at maybe an orbital position that isn't great for Alaska, because of the fact that they want to hit North America and South America, or because they want to hit a different spot in the globe that has a, like I said, a higher density of people. And Alaska, it's just, it's so sparse, but it's the people who live here, they want it so badly, and it's just kind of a hard trade-off that if what it's going to come down to is the state is going to have to find a way to either lobby the federal government to force one of these companies to give this kind of service to Alaska, or the state's going to have to purchase kind of dedicated service from one of these satellites for the state of Alaska. So those are the kinds of things we're looking at right now, kind of negotiating in the future with some of these companies to get them to basically give up some of their profit in order to hit a part of the U.S. that isn't currently adequately served.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a hard thing to convince people to do when it's the end goal for these companies is what can I do to get the most profit. So,
all right. In bringing this, you know, you can either force, you know, there's lobbying the federal government to force a satellite company to push a beam towards us. And then there's also, you know, all of these infrastructures have been subsidized to a large degree by the federal government. GCI's Terra project was subsidized quite a bit from stimulus funds. It was a shovel ready project, and they rolled it out. And that was a combination of fiber and microwave covering the western face of Alaska. Now, in getting out to here, there was a little bit of discussion of doing a microwave bounce for the interim from wherever there was a fiber connection. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, looking at the community of Sandpoint, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I was looking up just their general population. It's about 1,000 people. Is that correct?
That's about it. It fluctuates rather highly due to the seasonal nature of the fishing industry out here.
Okay. I know that the Broadband Task Force, when they're looking at kind of a cost analysis of fiber terrestrial build-out versus microwave, for smaller communities, microwave can deliver the same level of service as fiber for a much reduced price. So it's not maybe the most ideal if it's a higher population, but for some of the smaller populations, I think the cap was about actually 300 people for a small town. I think just going back and thinking about what it would cost to build out, I think the example they used was Eagle. The village of Eagle. So they have around 300 people in Eagle, and to build out from existing terrestrial infrastructure to build out in microwave to Eagle was around $3 or $4 million. But to build out in fiber to Eagle was about $16 to $17 million. And theoretically, it would give the same amount of service, fast enough speeds to, you know, every household, but the difference in price was pretty huge. So when we talk about Sandpoint, you said there's around 1,000 people. Maybe there's some way that they could kind of build out more than one microwave, spur into the town of Eagle and still end up saving more money than if they were to build out in fiber optic. So it's kind of like a trade-off. And they're thinking about, you know, is this town going to grow over the next 20, 30 years? And if so, you know, is it better just to put in fiber optics rather than microwave? So it's a puzzle is how they describe it. And they're trying to put the pieces together. And there might not be the perfect solution, but microwave is definitely, next generation microwave is definitely a very viable option for smaller towns and something that they're definitely looking very heavily into.
All righty, Katie. Well, let's step away from just the actual physical infrastructure and how in the heck are we going to get high-speed internet out here, and let's talk a little bit about digital literacy. And a little bit of this is almost a chicken and the egg scenario, but part of Connect AK's grant focus is there some digital literacy in there, some teaching of the benefits of high-speed internet to these communities?
There is some digital literacy. There's a digital literacy a link on our webpage, which, again, I'll give you at the end of the show, at the end of this interview. But there's also kind of Connect Alaska's goal is to just talk about broadband and reach out to different communities and, you know, find out what are you using the internet for? What are your goals in, you know, business and life? And can we find a way to help you reach those goals with the internet and make your life a little bit easier? So that is kind of exciting because the more people learn about how to use a computer, how to access things on the internet, the more the demand for better internet grows. And with more demand, you can kind of, I guess, persuade some of the companies in Alaska to maybe bring you better service. So part of our goal is to just get people educated about the internet and, you know, what are your options kind of thing, and what is your speed? Are you getting what you're paying for? And as far as the digital literacy component on our website, it kind of walks people through what is a computer? You know, we all know a lot of us how to use a computer, but what are the different parts inside that make it work? And what's the difference between a web app and an application that's, you know, kind of centered on your computer? And once people know a little bit more about how their computer and the internet works, they have a better sense of how they can use it to improve their own lives. So we definitely work a lot with that. And some of the other states that Connected Nation works with, there's a digital literacy initiative with a lot of the libraries in the areas, and we're definitely talking about that with some of the library systems here in Alaska. But again, Alaska's program is still pretty young compared to some of the other states, so we're working towards a lot of these goals, but a little bit further behind just because we got started late. So it's all part of the big picture, if you want to consider it that way.
All right. Well, now, how can the communities of Southwest Alaska and in the Aleutians East Borough participate in surveys and tests to assist in Connect Alaska's data collection and learning about some of the folks out here?
Okay. So one website that I would encourage people to go to is Connect Alaska's website, which is www.connectak.org. That's CONNECTAK.org. And once you go there, you kind of see our general website. And if you scroll down, you can see on the right-hand side, it says, find a provider, test your speed, and tell us your story. So I would encourage everyone to definitely test your speed. You just click on the little thing that says test your speed and then follow the steps to you know, find out what your speed is. And then once you know your speed, below where it says test your speed, it says take our survey. And that survey, when you go in there, it asks you some general questions about, once again, your speed. But important information that we're looking for so that we can bring it back to the federal government and say, this is what Alaska has, and it is not adequate, and we need help. So we need more people to take that survey, and all that information gets sent back to the federal government so they can see exactly what Alaska is dealing with. Because right now, Alaska has a very high adoption of internet, but all those people who live out in communities like Sandpoint don't have adequate broadband as the federal government would consider the definition of broadband. So their definition, the federal definition of broadband, is 4 megabits per second. And if you're getting 220 kilobits per second. That's obviously not 4 megabits per second below what the federal government says is necessary for people living in the U.S. in 2012. So just getting them that kind of information will help them understand some of our struggles and some of the problems that we're faced with in such a big state with so few people. And maybe then they'll send more, I don't know, grants our way or work on doing some kind of a universal service fund reform to get Alaska back up to speed with the rest of the country. So definitely. And also in that survey, we're asking a lot of community, what we call community anchor institutions, libraries, schools, hospitals, fire stations, to take that survey and report from their place of work, again, what their speeds are and what they use the internet for and these different types of things, because the community anchor institutions are also very interested, important to the federal government. So that is one way that everyone can help out with, I guess, getting that kind of information to the feds.
Now, considering the region that we're in and a lot of our local governance and a lot of our local population are members of tribal corporations, Native Alaska tribal corporations. Now the digital divide here between, you know, people living out here and on the road system, you know, is there any influence that the local tribal governments can have in this process?
We haven't actually seen a lot of involvement from the tribal corporations as of yet. So any kind of involvement from them would be, I'm sure, very helpful. I think in Sandpoint, it's the Elliott Corporation. Is that right?
That's the overarching, and then they have the local corporations, Shumian Corp, QT Tribe, and, they got Polloff Harbor, which are over from Sanac.
Something else that they could do is hold maybe a digital literacy workshop, bring in someone who can show people who maybe don't know how to use a computer or the internet, just kind of walk them through maybe learning how to use email or how to make a resume online, things like that, that can kind of, you know, down the line maybe spur economic development, but also help increase demand in that area for people to get better internet. So that's definitely one way that Native corporations can help out too.
I was just curious because the executive director for Connect Alaska is James Dunn, who once ran a was... Let me see this. He was CEO and president of EAC, Native Village Corporation, and had worked with the federal government in obtaining various contracts and such. And so I wasn't sure whether the voices of our local tribal corporations, Native corporations, will, you know, if their voice would, you know, be heard a little bit better through Connect Alaska or something.
Yeah, and again, the Native corporations can work on lobbying the federal government and the local government, the state government, and as well as, like, you know, our congressmen and our senators too, in the federal government. Anything would help. And I know a lot of people are very passionate. That's one thing that we're seeing within Alaska is people are so passionate about wanting better internet service, an affordable internet service, but it's difficult because they just have to sit back and wait for, you know, either the state or our local internet providers to make it out to them, and it's no one's fault really. It's just that it's such a complicated and big problem to tackle that it's not ever going to happen overnight. So. Yeah, definitely. And as far as the Broadband Task Force is concerned, they are starting to do some more presentations on kind of what they've learned and some of their goals and recommendations. And they're asking for public comments from people, which is another way that either Native corporations or just the individual person can help out, and kind of just tell, they want you to tell the task force members basically what you need, why it's important to you, and how it would change your life if you had better internet. So as far as how you can do that, there's another website for you to go to. It is www.akbroadbandtaskforce.com. And you'll see on that website a place where you can submit your public comments, and just they just want to hear from people in general, and they want to know, like I said, just why do you need it? What do you use it for now? And what could you, how would it change your life if you had better internet? So those are some ways that kind of the Native corporations and everyone else can help out too.
All righty, Katie. Well, I appreciate your time, and that's about all the questions I have for you today. Once again, Katie Peglini, the program director for Connect Alaska. And any other parting words, Katie?
No, just thank you so much for having me. And if for some reason people didn't get those websites, I'll also send it out so that, Virgil, you can have it and post it up wherever people go to check on those sorts of things.
Well, let's do a repeat one more time. There's Connect Alaska, okay, which is connectak.org, connectak.org. And there's the Alaska Broadband Task Force. And these are both of the two main entities that probably want to hear from the residents of the Illusions East Borough and everyone that is concerned about the digital divide and the separation that we have from the rest of the world. I mean, it's not just distance. You know, if these communications could be made available, it eliminates distance a lot. All righty, Katie, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Sorry that they're going to say something else. But, yeah, definitely those two websites are the most important ones. And if anyone wants to get a hold of me, you can email me at kpaglini@connectak.org.
All righty, Katie. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you being on KSDP, and hope you have a good day.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Goodbye. All right, Katie Peglini from Connect Alaska. Right here, we're going to get back to some music, have a station ID, and get into some Marty Stewart. Thank you for listening, and we're going to post this interview up online with some links at apradio.org so that if you wanted to participate in the conversation about bringing high-speed internet to Southwest Alaska, there you go. There are your tools.
You're listening to 830 AM KSDP and K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.